Welcome back to the Bearish Traders Podcast with your hosts, Carlos Moreta and Thor Young. And today we have a very, very good topic, which is going to go very well with what we've been seeing in the overall market. And we've been kind of hearing some traders struggle with this a little bit. And I'm not going to lie, myself included too. I got into situations where this behavior bias has messed up some of my trades. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we get into that, man, Thor, how you been? How is everything, my friend?
Man, I'm amazing. Good to see you and good to be presenting and talking about our subject matter for everybody. It feels like it's been forever. It kind of has been. First off, before we get started, if you guys, apologies to everyone out there who has sent me a little Twitter hate mail because we haven't had the regular situation going. Carlos put out a really awesome last episode coverage with Pyrus. talking with him a little bit and getting things going. And I really appreciated Pyra stepping into the seat and getting things going for us there. And now we're back. We're trying to get the schedule put together a little bit better. But man, my man Carlos has been killing it. I've been killing it. We've just been so busy. We just haven't been able to get those schedules lined up. But anyway, much love and apologies to everybody for not being able to do that. But I am great and amazing. How about you, man? How's life? I know you're like killing it over at Peak and working crazy.
Yeah, life is... Life is good, man. Our boot camp is going great. The members are just crushing it. This boot camp specifically, we got a few that are actually hitting their numbers and are going to actually get a payout. So looking forward to that. That's going to be exciting. If you want to learn more about pcapitaltrading.com, you can head over there and learn more about our boot camp, right? So I'll put the link in the bio.
I'm excited to hang out with a few of them. I know we're going to have a few of them at Vancouver, which BBT is doing its big Vancouver summit deal that we do. You know, we have these annually, these summits where we get together and have just crazy education with great, crazy people. That's going to be going on. I'm going to be there. So I'm really excited to do that and meet some of the people from Peak there. But man, that's cool. Congrats on them for some payouts coming.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Nice. All right, guys, let's get into our topic. So today we want to talk about behavioral bias. And one of the things we've been seeing a lot, especially with the way the market's been trading now, if you look at NVIDIA, you know, almost hitting 900 today. If you look, well, not actually almost, it surpassed 900. I think it went to 920.
It's
just wild. AMD hitting all-time highs. So you got a lot of these tickers that are at a price that you kind of get thinking, man, this stock is not worth that, right? Or the opposite end. You see Tesla dropping today to like 172, right? So prices which are extremely low. And one of the things we want to avoid as traders, and it has happened to me a couple of times, is that we get into this behavioral bias of, you know, there's psychology of emotions, which affects traders. And then there's market psychology, which affects the price of a stock, right? And what the price should be or not be. And sometimes we can let that affect the way we trade. And I'll give you one example that I did about a week ago, right? I got into this trade. I believe it was Tesla. I don't remember. It was NVIDIA, actually. I went short because I thought the price was, this is too high. It's got to come down. That's not a strategy. You know, you're trading based of a bias that's creating this idea. I might be right, the price is too high, but that's not a strategy you can actually act on and trade. And I see a lot of traders get stuck into this where they're thinking about the price, what it should be, and getting stuck into the idea, hey, I have to short this because it has to come down here. And as you see now, NVIDIA is up quite a bit. So
we got one of our moderators, Jared, in the room. And I always got to quote him on this one. When someone comes into the room, they ask him, hey, do you think the price can go lower than this? And he'll just come out and he'll say, yeah, it can, because zero's a number that's lower than this number. Like just because it's in a price position, like if that's not relevant to something else on the chart or some other kind of signal or something going out, price going down actually... You know, and especially in our room, we like to say the lower it goes, the lower it can go, right? Because you're stopping out participants from much larger time frames, right? Now, if you're going up, that same thing can happen, right? We have institutional short sellers, right? So as it rallies on, especially if the order book to the top side is a little leaner and doesn't require a ton of volume, as those institutional sellers come out, right? It allows the stock to propel higher. And I think you've seen that on NVIDIA over and over again. It stalls a little bit. Some people try to short it, but inevitably the thing just goes crazy. And you just look at yourself and say, man, why didn't I just buy this thing when I thought it was high at like $400?
Right. Oh, yeah.
The thing's 900 now, right? You know, obviously somebody politics. Somebody knew something we didn't know. You know, because there have been some people making some killer money on that ticker. But I'm with you, man. Just because it's high or just because it's low is not a reason to do anything. It can always go higher. It can always go lower. And if that's how you're trading, I think, you know, you're going to find you're going to have a lot of psychological issue in that alone, because it's just the stock's going to, you know, it reminds me of the old, you know, that old conversation you and I had about you and I have both had this experience of losing a trade, blaming the market, being totally mad about it, and then realizing that trade was in sim, right? Oh, yeah. You and I have both had that experience. It's just the most humbling experience, because then you start to realize, oh, wait, maybe it is me, right? So normally that bias is part of what's creating that. So like when I trade, one of the things I'm really concerned with, and it's part of the reason why I account for this in my strategy, right? I have certain levels in which I'm only willing to buy, certain levels in which I'm only willing to sell, just for RVR and that. So if I don't see the price action I'm looking for, if I don't see selling in an area where I can sell, I just don't touch it, right? I'm trying to eliminate my emotional or my personal bias, those thoughts of, wow, it's really high, right? Sometimes you buy high for it to go higher. Sometimes you sell low, buying back even lower, right? These are what breakout days are, right? When you get those gappers off of the pre-market show, this is what we're looking for, these gappers, where it's doing something it's never done before. It can just go. Gap and go, baby, you know?
Yeah, it can absolutely can. And actually, I went back into my journal to look at that trade as I'm looking at it here. It was not NVIDIA. That's my mistake. It was Carvana. So Carvana, yeah. So I traded that. And it's funny, I traded that out of my strategy, meaning if you guys know, I'm a 5-minute ORB trader, right? I look for opening range breakouts at the market open. This was a day I came back into the afternoon and kind of see, hey, what's moving? What's happening here with the market? Because everything's been so fun to watch and see the way things are running, seeing the way how the inflation data is reflecting onto the market. We also got, you know, a lot of politics going on as well with everything happening there, affecting the way the market moves. So it's fun to come for back sure. in the afternoon and see these great moves get extended or whatever the case may be. And I have it on my notes here. I went in there thinking that, hey, this is ran up a lot. It's time for it to kind of come down. And guess what? It ran up some more, you know, at least on that day. It's dropped since then. But that is a bias that you just don't want to have.
What's wild is you get to the end of the day, because that hindsight's always so 20/20 when you're reading a chart, you know, and you get back to the end of the day and you look at it and you go, oh, well, duh. It was, I had this level marked. Right. So I actually took a trade on, for instance, today. I actually traded Tesla today. I'm in a short in Tesla as we're recording as right now. I took a stop on it. My first trade, my first entry was a stop. And it's because I shorted while I was still buying. You know, I got excited. I got in a little bit early, but I thought this was the top. This is where the top should come. This is the right level. I see the right order book. So I just didn't wait for it to start selling. Right. I kind of let my bias, right? I wasn't waiting for the signals. I was just saying, hey, this is what I think is going to happen here. But it hadn't happened yet. I just let the fact that I thought it was going to happen. And guess what? I was punished by losing an R, right? A couple $100 for me these days. Right. So it stopped me out. It went a little bit higher, rejected right from the level I had picked in pre-market that I wanted it to come off of, right? Threw a big VPA signal there, then started selling off. I got short again, hit target, hit goal, all that profits, things great. I could have just stayed away from that whole first trade. That whole first trade didn't even need to happen, right? That was just money that I just threw into the market because I thought something was going to happen instead of waiting for something to happen. Perfect example.
So, you know, one of the things that hurts this is that prices can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent, you know, and that's an issue. So when you're looking at prices like, man, like NVIDIA, I mean, I use this example because it's probably the biggest one right now. The thing is at $900, probably going to hit 1,000. If not tomorrow, Friday, it'll probably hit it by the end of next week if it continues on this trend. That stock is probably not worth nowhere near that, but that is what the market has right now, right? Yep. So when you don't have very strong conviction on your strategies, you can let things like this slip into your mindset saying, man, you know, absolutely, I don't have a strategy here, but this price is way too high. Let me short this thing. This is way too low. It's coming at value. Let me go long on this thing, which, by the way, we do have some tickers that are showing in value right now. You look at Apple. Apple's dropped quite a bit. But then you got to decide, okay, am I doing this as a day trade or am I looking as a fundamental trade, right? Because you can trade fundamentally with half of the information, right? And not do a whole fundamental analysis. I'm saying, hey, this price is not where it should be. I'm going to go long and swing trade this into who knows when, right? You got to do the entire homework on that. But using some 100%. Of that, using some of that information to take a day trade and apply it to one of your day trading strategies is not a good idea. And it usually doesn't end up working out.
Well, how I like to think about this and how I kind of teach this concept, right, is we are day traders, and day, being a day trader is a double-edged sword, right? It's the positive cutting side of the sword, right, is the fact that we can maneuver in and out of positions at will, right? So being able to get in and out of positions and live inside the micro time frame, right, that is our inherent advantage. But yeah, we also have an inherent disadvantage, right, which is we are bound by time, right? We're day traders. So we've got one day, you know, within that small time frame to hit our profit targets, right? So we have to think big and act small, right? You have to think like a larger time frame participant. If you're doing it right, you have to think, yeah, where are they going to buy, right? Where you know, if someone was looking to add into a massive portfolio, where is that going to occur, right? Because I want to buy when they buy, right? But I need to think about, if I buy where they buy, I have to be able to get to an RVR within a certain period of time. And if, you know, and that could be 15 minutes, 2 hours, 5 hours, whatever that is, that's really irrelevant. Can you get that done today within your time frame? And if that answer is yes, then you should entertain the idea for a trade. If the answer is no, then you don't, right? That's one of the easiest ways to figure out your risk is, yeah, if I go short here, go long here, can I get to my target by looking at this chart? Am I going to run into any issues by then? If the answer is yes, don't take the trade, right? Mm-hmm. So, but we have to keep all of these things into effect. Cause like you were saying with the irrational market, right? You know, Nvidia, I would never have put Nvidia at this price. I don't think anyone was putting in this price. I remember everyone making fun of certain political, you know, people because they were optioning significantly higher, right? And everyone's making fun of them. And then also all super surprised when it is like, I don't know, quadrupled since that or something. But I mean, you know, it's, you know, the market can just do what the market thinks it's going to do, right? So you can't live in that biased world, right? It's higher, chasing, buying it because it's high. If you're ever just buying it or selling it because it is a thing, again, you're just reacting. And kind of an interesting correlation to that. So I really approach stock trading a lot like gambling, right? So for me, when I trade, right, just like a gambler, if I take a significant portion of money out of the market in any one hit, right, I'm not really looking to keep playing because that's how the market gets back, right? Yeah, participation is how the market gets its money back. The more you participate, the more likely, not less likely, you are to have a negative encounter with the market. Mm-hmm. Right. So for me, I'm looking for absolute, like, sniping positions, like absolute precision. I want to look for exactly this price because this is where my RVR is. And I want to see selling, you know, I want to see the order book needs to look the right way. I need to see selling hitting the tape in the right way. I need the right VPA signals. I need all of these things because once I get in, I only have this much time to go from here to here. Right. Yeah, and if I can't get there, I'm not going to make money. Right. So, and again, it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You need to go from here to here. You can't take that trade. You don't have the time. Why risk the money if you don't have the time? And I think as you become a more, I know you and I have grown a lot as traders, you know, and witnessed each other go through this. You know, it's like as you start to gain, you know, maybe what we would call just a little bit more experience in the market, you know, just, you know, you start to realize that less becomes more. You don't need 400 indicators. Absolutely. You only need like one or two. You don't need 50 trades. You need one. You know, you don't need to risk $200. You can risk $100 and go for $600 in profit. Just do it with one trade. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's just so interesting how we go down this road where we, you know, we throw it all on and then take it off. And all of it, I think, is in the beginning, we almost trade using a bias, like you're saying. And then now we've actually come away from bias where we're just allowing systematic approaches, right, to create an expected reaction. And we really don't bias that personally. We just do what we plan to do in these areas, like a gambler. You know, if you hit a certain card formation, you're going to split. You know, if you hit roll a certain dice combination, you're going to bet a certain way, right? If you flop a certain hand, you have a certain thing that you do for every one of these encounters. And that's kind of what we do. And we're risking and rewarding all along the way.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. And you brought up the fact about time, right? Time when you're day trading is not in your favor when you're trading, right? It's not in your favor, especially for me, trading the 5-minute RBs. It, for those that don't know, that strategy is a very fast-paced strategy. Happens within an hour, up to an hour, right? But it's a very fast-paced strategy. Once that time frame is gone, you don't longer have access to that strategy. So less is more. I know that if I don't find a strategy there during that time, that's it. I'm done for the day for the most part, right? So I'm not taking as many trades. And the one that I lost in Carvana was a trade that I should have not been in because I don't have a reversal strategy to begin with. But I was basing that trade more on a bias of, hey, this price is too high, has to come down. No, it doesn't, right? And I know that, but sometimes you make mistakes like this. So you let your mindset kind of, your bias get the best of your actual process and strategy. And that's what you have to try to avoid as a trader. And it happens to us now, even as trading after all these years.
Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine how newer traders, you know, how frustrating this can be. One of the first things I ask traders is when they show me a sample of a trade is, okay, what was your strategy here? And you'd be surprised how many times I get the answer, well, the price did this, did that and then, you know, I figure it's going to go up. That is not a strategy, right? Yes, it worked here. That's great. You made money. But over time, that is not going to work, you know, on a regular, consistent basis, right? So you have to be able to really have that strategy fine tuned.
I have a weird analogy for strategies, but like, you know, I tossed a book out like a year or so ago. And basically, the main way I break down is where, when, and how, right? Yeah, and every single trade that you have has to have one of those elements. And the way where I took it from was actually doing surfing. When I was in high school and stuff, I really liked to surf. And you always knew as being the best surfer that you were never going to catch a wave if you didn't know where to be to catch a wave. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and you'll always notice, you'll look at like old pictures that show like surfers out at the beach and you'll notice the beach is empty. And then there's like 10 people and they're all crowded in the same place surfing. That's not because these people like each other and they like running into each other. Right. They're there because that's where the waves are coming from. Yeah. Right. So the first thing you actually need to do before you even start considering what your risk is you actually need to know, where am I looking for a trade to occur? Right. Where do I want to sell? What range am I going to get into sell? Where am I going to buy? If you don't have those things identified, you don't even need to be putting money into the market yet, right? You should know those things. You should define those things before you even start risking money, right? You should know where to buy and where to sell tickers for a day trading strategy, right? Yeah, once you have those things, now you need to answer yourself a really important question. If you're going to short, is it selling? If you're going to buy, is it buying? RVR is significantly less complicated when you pick the right direction. Right. But guess what? If you don't know how to answer that question right now, you should not be putting money into the market. Right. You should take the time and get the education to learn to know, if I'm reading a chart, is it buying on the chart? If I'm reading a tape, is it buying on the tape? If I'm looking at a cool program like Bookmap or something like that and reading the level two, does the level two look bullish? You know, what are all of these different signals to let you know that now that I'm in a place to perform a specific action, is that actioning occurring? Now it's occurring, let's say you wanted to short it and you're somewhere where it can short, guess what? It still needs to be in the right position because, again, as a day trader, you only got a certain time and a certain distance to travel. So if for all of that, it's not in the right spot, you still can't take the stinking trade, right? 5-minute RB, can't take it till it breaks. If it never makes that ORB, you can't take it. Can't take it under it. Not a valid strategy till it breaks and comes back or does whatever it does, right? So it's like, it's just these kind of things. You have to have a where, you have to have a when, and then you have to have an apply. And one kudo that I give to the 5-minute ORB, and one of the reasons I think a lot of people who are learning an introductory strategy, especially that has high consistency, it's a great one because it actually does have all three of those elements built into the strategy. It has a specific time that you're looking for something to occur. It has a specific position it's looking to occur. So it's got a where and it's got a when. And then once you're into it, Carlos has completely detailed how to profit from it and take money out of it. So it's got a how. So it has all three of those things that you need. So if it works, it works. And if it's not working, you know how to identify that. And that's what you need. After that, you just see if you can replicate it. And if you can't over and over again, you're making money.
Yeah. And usually when I'm sticking to that strategy, which I do, again, I think 90% of the time I stick to that strategy, I don't have no bias at all with that strategy, because that strategy is so firm for me for years that there's no way no other biases can come in there and tell me to do something otherwise than what the price action is telling me. right? So it's a very, very solid strategy. And something you mentioned too, I want to touch on it again. It's about, you know, less indicators are is better than more. That is so important, man. I still have the same way Andrew taught me this strategy back in 2017, 2018. I have not added anything else on here, right? It still has been the same levels and indicators, right? Bookmap is a good one that I kind of see you guys doing it. Yeah. So that's great because it shows you the level two in a whole different visual format. So that's something I always tell traders. You can always apply Bookmap when you first start, but don't go crazy adding too much indicators like RSI and what's the other one, the one with the percentages, I forget.
Like Fibonacci.
Don't go crazy adding too much. You know, learn the basics first and then see which one of these can support what you're looking to do, right? I'm not saying they're bad indicators, but starting out, if you throw all that stuff on there, they're going to start contradicting each other, right? So you got to be very careful.
The term like that I've heard like a lot of the real psychologists out there, right, is that whole analysis paralysis thing,
yes.
right? Like you need a where, a when, and a how, but you don't need like a where, a where, a when, and a how, and a how, right? You don't need like two of it all, right? There's only so many confirmations you need. This is going to be a really funny thing. And I don't hate me for this, people, but it's just kind of funny. But so my son and I were reading this book, and I because I read to him every night before he goes to bed, and I've been doing it since he was a baby, and I still do it. I love it. It's one of my favorite things of every single night. So you like me for that part. The part you want to hate me is that I'm going to quote a children's book for you. But I'm not trying to insult your intellect here, but it does apply, right? This children's book that we're reading is about this kid who gets into the FBI because he utilizes a special skill, and that special skill is what he calls toast, which is the theory of all small things, right? And then that really resonated with me because I thought about that as being stock trading, right? There really is, people come to you and they say, what's that one big thing? And then you realize there is no one big thing. So in the beginning, everyone spends all of this time looking and going through all these indicators, analysis paralysis and stuff, because they're trying to find that one big thing. But what you realize is it's not, it's a culmination of multiple small things that all happen to happen at the same time. Right, like the 5-minute ORB, it only works if it's at 5 minutes, and it's when the ORB breaks. You know, it sets up a 5-minute bar, and then it breaks that 5-minute ORB. That's the moment. Any other moment in that, you don't have all those small things. Q Blink 182. You don't have all those small things that are like all at together at the same time, and that's why the strategy fails after that. Right, all of the things that you needed that made it viable no longer exist in any other moment. So as you're putting your strategies together, you got to think, I can't just take it short because it's here. It needs more than that, right? It needs the right order book. It needs the right VPA. It needs the right, the right kind of selling volume hitting, you know, thinking about Paris, it needs to be hitting the tape, right? You got to have absorption and then rejection. And there's so many things. And if you don't know what those things are, you don't even need to risk money yet. You know, I mean, it took years of education for me to learn, a vast majority of this stuff. I'm still learning every day. Every day I'm still learning. I still don't know how to trade options for the record. I'm still not really into options yet. And I mean, I understand the basics of it, but I really haven't even learned all that yet because there's just so much out there, so much education you can improve upon, right? But innately, you want to cleanly and clearly just define your where, your when, and a how. You don't need 50 indicators. You don't need all of this different stuff. You just need to know where you want to look, what those signals are to tell you it's time. And if it is time, are you in the right place to take advantage of that? And if at any point in time, if that's a no, don't take the trade. Because you'll find, Carlos, on yours, that one loss you took, if you hadn't have taken that, right, that affects your week. That's one loss in your week that you would have avoided. Tomorrow, maybe you had a win or two wins, right? So, or something like that. If you'd have just gotten rid of that, you know, then your week just looks a little bit more better. So you can't really get like obsessed, you know, about trying to catch these little things because, you know, you take, if that had turned into four losses because you were outside of your strategy and you would just let that get out of hand, that could have, you know, ruined what was otherwise going to be or not even ruined, but maybe even significantly subdued what could have been an otherwise amazing week. You know, maybe this was going to be a 30R week or a 40R week for you. And now you've got this negative 4R, 5R day. Yeah. You know, just, you know, that started your week, you know, but maybe it was going to be a good week. So it's all about that control.
And the frustrating part is that it's not in your strategy. You know, you trade it based off of bias. You trade your
pure gambling.
Pure gambling.
Pure gambling. You trade it
because you thought this price was too high. And
right. The difference between pure gambling and professional gambling, which is what we kind of want to be. You know, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't like that.
Don't like that terminology. Yeah.
Because we're speculators, right? And investors. But, just for Wayne's World, you know, make this go away for a second and just act like we're not talking about trading. You know, I mean, the difference between being a professional poker player and someone who just goes to party in Vegas for a weekend, right, is a professional player knows all of those strategy components, when to do all the different things, right? And he knows how to do it and he can execute it. And when he's losing, he can keep his cool. He can still control his thing and create what he needs to create, where otherwise the other person's just all in, right? And why were you all in on an off-suited, I don't know. I just felt like it was time. I just felt like it was time to go in. That's what you're talking. That's your bias. I just felt like it was time to go in. Right. Exactly, why was there like some crazy thing that happened? That guy winked at me. When that guy winked at me, I knew it was time to go all in.
And I noticed, man, when your strategy is strong, you avoid these biases. Like, it's very difficult. I have never traded a bias on my strategy. I'm sure you haven't either, because everything is all laid out and set for you. So you just stick to the plan. So important to be able to do that.
I guess I could say I trade the bias that I have built into the strategy. I'm no longer using an emotional bias. I'm going to short where I expect to short. And if that stops working, then I can focus specifically on, wait a minute, I was shorting here before and it was working. Why is that not working? That's really easy to trace, actually, because you can start looking at charts and say, okay, this is why. If you're just going short in the ether whenever you want to, good luck tracking down the reason that's happening. Yeah. There's no reason why gambling doesn't work. It's just probabilities at this point. And if you're just flipping coins when you're entering trades, then, you know, just going short because it's up there.
No, you know, cannot reach you more.
Not happening.
All right, friends, thank you so much. I think we kind of covered this great topic, man, but it's an important one because I see so many traders fall into this. Again, it happens to us once in a while, but I see newer traders kind of fall into this, looking to kind of just get into a trade and make something work and just forcing it. So be aware of that. Stick to your plan, stick to your strategy, and don't let these irrational prices that we're seeing in the market now kind of slip into your decision-making, your trade management, right? So very important.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Guys, make sure you hit that thumbs up over on YouTube. If you're on Apple or Spotify, give us a review. We really appreciate it. And more importantly, if you guys have any suggestions of topics or you want to send in a question, we're going to get together a couple of questions we want to answer from you guys on one entire episode. So that'll be a fun one, because then we get to kind of hear from your end on some of the things that are bothering you or some of the comments that we can address. A podcast at bearbootraders.com. Send it there. Thor and I both get a copy of that. We would love to hear from you first and foremost, but also throw in a question or something you want us to tackle during these next few episodes that we're going to be doing going forward. So we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
All right. With that said, guys, take care. We'll see you on the next one.